change is going to come. Hey, that's Tina Turner. Hey, good evening, everyone. Hey, welcome to the Boomerang Radio Show. I'm getting some feedback from your computer, Dr. Demery. Okay. Check any external speakers. Okay.
Okay.
I'm getting feedback from you. All right. Anyway, hey, welcome, everyone, to the Boomerang Radio Show. We'll get that taken care of. All right, ladies and gentlemen. And to the panel, I want to welcome my panel. Hopefully, Dr. Sims will be joining us shortly. Hey, Brother Danny Tisdale, how are you? You're
no, mute.
You're on mute.
Good okay. evening. How's everybody?
All right.
Hey.
Doing great.
Doing great.
I'm getting feedback. Dr. Demery is coming from your computer.
How you know it's coming from mine?
Because I muted you and I don't hear it. Hold on. Now, yeah, it's coming from yours, sir. Okay. Check your external speakers. I don't know. Okay.
Or log out and log back in.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, log on and log back in, Dr. Demery, please. Okay, let's do that. Hey, Brother Mike Ward, how are you?
I am fantastic as always.
All right. Excellent. 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 All right. And Ann Wooten Taylor. How are
hey,
you?
How are you? I'm good. How are you this evening?
I'm pretty good.
Oh, you can hear me today. That's nice.
Oh, that is nice. That is nice. And it was unfortunately, your speaker, I don't know. Did you figure out what the issue was yesterday?
No.
Oh, okay.
No idea. It just stopped working.
It stopped working, and now it's working all of a sudden. Well, I'm glad it's working. All right.
It might have something to do with StreamYard. It might not have anything to do with Dr. Demery or with Ann.
Well, no, because what was happening, I was getting feedback, and when I muted Dr. Demery, I didn't get that feedback anymore.
But I'm saying it may not be his computer. It may be something to do with StreamYard, the way he was logged in.
Could be. We'll find out. We'll find out. But anyway, I'm going to wait for him for a little bit. Okay, let's try Dr. Demery. I hope we have a good. We're getting his feedback again.
Okay. Well, I don't know what the problem is. Let me log off.
Tell you what. I'm going to text you the conference number. All right. You can leave your screen up. We're just going to mute your computer. All right. Let's do that. So anyway, carry on. I wanted to talk about everyone. Let's talk about the heat a little bit. We want to talk about climate change a little bit. I was looking at TV earlier today. And it was in Atlanta, Georgia, and the reporter was there, and they were talking about how hot it was there. Well, it was only 91 degrees. That's still kind of warm, right? But the pavement was 150.
Whoa.
Okay, let's try this one more time.
Whoa.
Okay, let's see if we can get Dr. Demery, because love Dr. Demery. Yes, that's better. Whoa, you did something. Okay. All right, good. We don't get that. But anyway, we're talking about climate change. And like I said, the temperature was 91. Okay. On a thermometer. However, she measured the heat coming from the pavement, and it was 150. That's absolutely insane. Can you imagine if you're in a 100-degree temperature or over 100-degree temperature, what is the pavement, right? And it was a gentleman that made an unwise decision, I believe it was last week or week before last. He decided, Mike, and Mike and Dr. Demery and Danny can tell you that Death Valley means just that, Death Valley. He decided to do a 7-mile hike in Death Valley. Now, the temperatures there was something between 125 and 130, Mike, or something like that. Did you hear about it?
What I read was 124, and I think they said he was 71 years of age, but he was an avid hiker. But even an avid hiker, even the fittest of the fit out in that kind of temperature, the CDC says you should, at that kind of temperature, you should limit yourself to 5 minutes or less.
Oh, absolutely. Wow. I remember one time being in 124 degree temperature, Danny. This buddy of mine, Mike knows him too, Tim May. Okay, that's Dr. Sims. Tim May. we went on a road trip down to, Lake Havasu. And it was, I think, during the Memorial Day holiday or something like that. And when we got to the campground, it was 124 degrees. I said, oh, women, hold it. I don't do this. I do not do this. So we spent the night there. However, the last 2 days, I said, no, I'm not doing it. I'm getting a hotel room. You guys can camp all you want. I'm getting a hotel room. So the next year, and this is a true story, he called me to make that same trip with him. So I hung up on him. I said, no. I'm not touring this. You know, people, and they've been ignoring this for years. Down in Florida right now, they said that the ocean there is getting to be hot tub level climate. Now, the ocean life, now they're not used to that, okay? So what happens? It is absolutely amazing. Now, I think that a lot of things that's contributing to climate change is greed. Greed. I'm going to tell you why. Because there are some powers to be that they are making money off of fossil fuels. They're making money off of things that causes the climate to get warmer. And it says on record, well, they're saying on record that July is the hottest day ever recorded. So I want you guys to talk about this a little bit. Climate change, are there any solutions to this? What can we do? I think there are some things. I'm not going to give up and say hey, it's too late to do anything, because that is to give up and everybody dies. So I just want to take, let's go around the panel. Let's start with you, Danny, and talk about climate change. Do you believe it? What's your take on it? And let's talk about some things that I think that can be done. And if you guys have any information, chime in. Let's go around the table. Danny, I want your take on this. And what is the temperature down? You're near Dallas, Texas, are you?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Tell us, what's going on?
The temperature right now, we have 103 degrees.
Bruh.
And we have been in triple digits for, I don't know if we're close to 30 some odd days or something close to that.
Wow.
Which is pretty common for Texas, but I mean, the hot that I grew up with here in Texas, we would occasionally see 100 degrees, but nowadays we're seeing these 103s, these 110s, and these different things. And I am not a scientist to say that I totally believe the causes are the gases. I think it has something to do with it. But going back to what you just stated, the greed of these big corporations, they don't really care about that. They want to make what they want to make. And no matter what gases they put back into the atmosphere, and that's even the other countries, Japan, China, and all of them, we all have a part in it. I believe that's true. I don't think it's just as it's been made out by some others that it's not true, but I don't have enough scientific intelligence and know-how to really speak, you know, to that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I'm not a scientist either, you know, and I don't think we have any scientists on this panel, you know. However, this thing has been on the table, Mike, for several years, a few decades. I believe Al Gore, back when he was running for president or when he was vice president, one of the two, he brought it to our attention, and everybody thought he was a nut job, okay, mm-hmm. by even addressing this thing, you know. And I do believe, you know, like a lot of people say, well, no, electric cars, you know, we don't need electric cars or whatever it is, right? They don't want to look at the Green New Deal or going into more green energy. I'm not an authority on this, but I do need, to me, it makes a lot of sense, you know? And if it makes sense to me, give me enough facts. And like Mike, you and I talk about it a lot of times. You and I, sometimes we might be on, have a difference of opinion on certain things. and it doesn't matter what it, and that's okay. And others on this panel, sometimes we might have a different opinion on certain things, and that's okay too. I don't want this platform to be just a one-sided platform where one opinion goes. No, that's ridiculous. I think all of us should sit down and listen to one another. And if you make more sense than I do, then I'm going to side with you. And if you don't, then I'm going to keep my own opinion, right? And it's up to you to go along with me or not. That's totally, we have the free will and free way of, or free will to think however we want to think. Mm-hmm. So, Mike, your take on what we're discussing so far.
Well, let's start with something that I'm sure all of us can agree on, which is we want our planet to be healthy. We want the people on our planet to be mm-hmm. healthy. We don't want any kind of pollution. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. In order to not survive, but in order to exist, we need certain products, as it is right now in our current world. So, I would like everything to be healthy. I would like there to be no pollution whatsoever, but is that doable? Is it reasonable? Especially when our country, the United States, is doing clean work way more than the rest of the world. When you look at China and other countries, they're polluting like mad. It's like, well, and then it becomes something stupid like, well, if the rest of the countries aren't doing their share, why should we do ours? Well, we should do our share no matter what. And then shame on the other countries for not doing their part to keep this planet Earth, Mother Earth's, healthy. I'm with Danny a bit because I think we human beings, we are mucking things up to some degree. However, I don't think we can lay all of it on our shoulders. When volcanoes go off, they produce more carbon dioxide by thousands of times more than human beings can create. So, mm-hmm. you know, some of it's just Mother Nature. Some of it we could probably do a better job of. Now here's the downside to it. If we don't have, like, let's just take petroleum products for a second. Everything we're touching daily is a petroleum product. The plastic frames on your glasses, your computer, the rubber tires on your car, the gasoline we put in your car, the oil we put in your car, you know, all those are petroleum products. Is it doable and reasonable that we can take a huge jump to electric cars like right now? Well, we can't because the electrical grid won't support it. We can't manufacture those cars fast enough or cheap enough. And the downside to those cars is to manufacture those batteries, there's a lot of toxic heavy metals involved in mining mm-hmm. and child labor that goes for mining the cobalt in particular, which they do with their bare hands, which is very toxic. So the batteries themselves, to create those batteries is very destructive to the environment, but nobody's talking about that. They're saying, oh, electric cars, look, free energy. Mm-hmm. No, it's not. And then where do you get the electricity from? You have though the electricity is coming from coal plants or a natural gas plants or nuclear plants. So that free electricity or let's say not free, but the electricity that goes into the storage batteries in those cars is electricity that's produced with a product that has waste to it. So I don't have an answer. I'm not a scientist like but I think a lot of the people that the sky is falling and we're all going to die crowd, they are pumping this up more than it probably should be. Mm-hmm. Although we do need to pay attention to this planet because, you know, forgive me, everyone, we're not going to be here all that much longer, but our kids are and their kids are and grandkids and so on and so forth. And we need to do our part. And I think we could do better.
I think it's well said. Well said. And I do agree that we can't cut out everything at once. You can't do that. And if it's not feasible to do so, we have to do things that are feasible for us to do. And I think there are some things that are feasible for us to do. And wherever we can improve as far as our manufacturing and things of that nature and producing these products, I think we should be able to do that. And also, I do agree with you. Do you think China and Russia and North Korea and those places give a hoot about climate change? No, they don't. And you're exactly right. We talk about world predominant countries in this world or on this planet that, yeah, a lot of them. And I still think that a lot of it goes back to greed. A lot of it goes back to greed. I'm going to go, hey, Dr. Sims, how are you? Okay, your mic is muted. Unmute that, please. Okay.
All right. Yeah. Everybody.
Hey.
Hey.
Look here. Are you cool? You know, Dr. Sims. Dr. Sims.
I told you Thursday I'm not going to hell.
Right.
I'm not going to hell.
Amen. Amen. I who had around not- here?
So this heat has made you not to just the heat alone, but you standing hard in your conviction.
Listen, my conviction is very strong because people make you lose it too, and I'm not going behind the hell by you, William. Nobody, I'm sorry.
No, hey. You trying to throw me under the bus. Yeah, purpose, yeah, I know what you're trying to do.
I did it on purpose.
Anyway, I know you did.
Everybody, it's good to be here, as hot as it is. And I was listening to things that Danny and Bill. Wow, what's your name?
I do take offense to calling me Bill. Now that's one name. No,
whatever, William, get over yourself.
Okay, no. I take offense to that one.
Anyway, I woke up hot this morning. It's hot in here, and it's telling us to keep my degrees at a certain temperature. It is hot. Okay, it is what it is. They want to roast the system. Okay?
It's incredible. And you know, it's not only where you are in California. I think a couple of days last week, it was hotter here in Virginia. I think I told Ann, it was hotter here in Virginia than it was or is in California, but than it was in California.
Well, we've been in the triple digits for a minute now, but what the kicker is, the humidity is what's bad. When you go out and step out for just a minute and you breathe in that dry, silent heat, like it's going to burn your lungs or something, and that's terrible. But to answer your question that you posed to the panel, I was just listening to everybody, and I'm not a scientist either, but I do see what's going on. Them cutting down our natural resources for making our air cleaner and also for protection for shade. We know the sun is up there and it's throwing off its rays, but I believe if people would stop these scientists and who are greedy, and you said something, William, about them being greedy, stop creating these chemicals and dumping them in our oceans, which is cause and effect. Like I said, I'm not a scientist, but they are destroying the earth. And then you have the volcanic actions. Another thing, and I'll probably make you laugh at this, they need to stop digging all them tunnels down, them gopher tunnels, okay, down in the earth, reaching they almost dig too deep where they reach in the pits of the earth and reach in hell. Because they have, and I'm being a realist, because they are taking advantage of the earth, and you said something about money. The greedy is getting greedier. Mm-hmm. They really don't care about killing humanity. See, I was thinking about this just a couple of days ago, William. It's ironic you asked this question. I said, do they really understand that they in that equation are dying too? I don't get it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Cause if they're trying to kill all of us, it's going to hit them too. They're not Superman, or they're not going to transfer themselves into another time zone, which they think they can. But my thing is this, they're inconsiderate of humanity. And then too, look at all of the things that they're creating. And if we just follow history, the stuff that they're creating, remember the plastic bottles, the plastic bags, all of this stuff that we're using, but then now they'll turn right around and tell us it's bad for us. And so it's a whole gamut of things they should not be doing. And then too, creating the fires. I saw something on the news where the place was just beautifully green, beautiful, from all of the rains. And they're saying, well, in between, underneath all of those trees, there's dry brush. So we are about getting ready to burn over 1 million acres to clear out the dry brush. Well, idiots, you're getting ready to kill the green trees too. Mm-hmm. So you have it's a catch 22. It's like they're burning all of our resources. They're depleting our clean air. So you're creating all of these chemically poisons. You're either storing them on the land, putting them in these crates, or putting them in the sea. What are we to do? It's getting in our water. I mean, it's just a whole gamut of things.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm looking at five causes of global warming here, right? Burning coal, oil, gas produces carbon dioxide and nitrous oxide, okay? And we know that those types of things, they create a hole in the ozone, right? And they would talk about something we don't talk about anymore, and that was the black hole and how emissions from the earth is increasing the size of that. Cutting down forests or deforestation, for instance. Yep. Well, see, now that's another catch-22 because we all know that most houses, you have to have wood for houses. And I know right here in Richmond, Virginia, I mean, they're building all over the place. Each and every week I would drive in a different part of the city and there's a new housing development or apartment complex coming and because there are a lot of people. So what do you do? Like we said earlier, Mike, I mean, we can't cut out some of the things that we need right now to produce the products that we need to survive. Fertilizers containing nitrogen produce nitrous oxide emissions, okay? Fluorinated gases are emitted from equipment and products that use these gases. So there was a story. I don't know what – I don't recall what state it happened or what city it happened in, but – this gentleman, I turned on the TV and his barn had burned down. He says that the hate that was in his barn had, ignited. I said, whoa. I mean, I didn't even think that was possible, Mike. Do you know anything about?
Yeah, it happened right next door to me here. We have, out here in San Timoteo Canyon, there's the county dump. Mm-hmm. And they had so much what they call green waste, which is by plant product and grass and all of that. And it spontaneously, because it's piled so heavy and dense, that it starts to heat up from the middle and eventually it ignites.
That is, I had never heard of anything like that before in my life. That is absolutely incredible. Dr. Demery.
Yes, I hope you can hear me.
Okay, let's see. If not, let's see. Continue. If not, I'm going to see.
Am I clear?
No, you're not. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to text you the conference line. You can keep your screen up, but we'll be able to see you, but you can talk from your phone. How is that?
So you cannot hear me at all.
Yeah, we can hear you.
We can hear you, but you're breaking up a little.
Okay.
Remember how he had to turn his camera, remember?
Yeah, that worked really well last time.
He was on his phone last time, but he's on his computer this time.
No, he wasn't. He turned his camera,
yeah.
Remember?
Like, yeah, when he turned it like that, it worked
okay.
A lot better.
Okay, try it again, Dr. Demery.
Okay, I hope you can hear me okay now.
Continue.
All right. My comment is that science.
Okay, no, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to text you. I'm going to text you the number, so we're going to do it that way. So just mute your mic, and I'm going to turn off my camera, and I'm going to send you that information. Let's go to Ann.
Hey, everybody. Glad to be here with you today. This is one of my pet peeves. So forgive me, William, you may be correct in that I talk for a while on this particular day. No, I'm not a scientist and nobody here is. However, we have been educated by the scientific community dealing with climate change and global warming for quite a few decades now. As a matter of fact, this started a long time ago. You mentioned Vice President Al Gore. Well, he became an advocate for climate change because when he was in college, this issue was brought up and he was one of the people that it hit home for. And so he has been championing, the cause of us protecting the earth, you know, and preventing what's basically happening now, because of that, which is great. That's how we learn, which is shout out to teachers, and why we need the correct information in our books. And that's just another one of my plugs. But you know, I was listening to everything that has been said, and from what I've studied, what I've read, because I do a lot of reading on the subject. Number one, you're absolutely right, Mike. Our election grid as it is, can't support all electric vehicles at once. So if we all changed over today, we would probably basically kill the electric grid as it is. They're already trying to put things in place to help combat that, because what happens is people with homes who have electric vehicles, they like to charge the electric cars at night. And that's fine, but everybody comes home at night and from work and uses their electricity. So they're trying to come up with solutions so that we don't all try to use it at the same time. So, for instance, I think I saw something where, you know, there was an idea for a Walmart parking lot to be equipped to charge vehicles while you shop, and those types of things, even places at work where people can charge their vehicles. In regard to whether or not it's harmful to the environment to make electric vehicles, on the front end, yes, it does do harm to the environment. But the lifetime, over the lifetime of an electric vehicle, it's much, much less of an impact on the environment than it is what we're dealing with your standard gas-powered cars and trucks and airplanes and whatnot. So we will be doing a lot better towards the, you know, taking things the other way in terms of environmental protection if we do switch over. Right now, the cost is prohibitive for most people. You've got a lot of wealthy people who can afford EVs. Now, it's getting a little bit better. You can find some used EVs at a decent price, but brand new electric vehicles, I mean, a lot of them are costing $80,000 and over $100,000. And your average person, even though we would love to do our part to save the environment by getting an electric vehicle, that's an issue. Another one is, you know, okay, so where do you charge it if you live in an apartment? You can't just find, a gas station. I mean, they're not like gas stations. You literally got a plot where you are going to go in order to get an electric vehicle charged up. And it can take a lot longer. It's not like, you know, a 5-minute pit stop at your local gas station. You're going to be there a while. So there are some things, some cons to it that are making switching over to electric vehicles a bit prohibitive, but we're working out those kinks. Case in point, when I went with my son on a tour at college, they actually had some parking spaces that were set up, you know, for charging an electric vehicle. Not a lot, because obviously it's not a standard thing now, but it's happening. Now, the thing about the volcanoes, there are a lot of people, especially those who don't believe in climate change, who love to talk about what volcanoes do. Well, according to NASA's website, which is the global, is NASA's Global Climate Change Vital Signs of the Planet. Annually, human activities produce about 100 times more carbon dioxide than Earth's volcanic eruptions. And that's all of the volcanoes combined.
Can you repeat? Volcanoes.
I'm sorry.
Would you mind repeating the stab again?
Sure. I'll read it verbatim. I know y'all talk about me for reading, but it says, volcanic eruptions are often discussed in relation to climate change because they release CO2 and other gases into our atmosphere. However, human contributions to the carbon cycle are more than 100 times those from all the volcanoes in the world combined. In comparison, while volcanic eruptions do cause an increase in atmospheric CO2, human activities emit a Mount St. Helens sized eruption of CO2 every 2.5 hours, and a Mount, looks like Pinatubo sized eruption of CO2 twice daily. So we are doing way more damage to our planet than any volcanic eruption all by itself, or even if all the volcanoes went off at the same time together, we still produce more. Now, how do we fix this? We've got a lot of different ideas out there. Some of them are really great. Other ones that are being pushed by the greedy people who want you to continue using their products, not so great. Like, for instance, now there's a push by the gas industry to try to tell you that using fossil fuels is actually good for the planet. Yeah, right. We are the people who know how to read and write and think. Sell that to the illiterate idiots who will, you know, buy anything. So we've got some really hard choices to make. And I think this summer and not the last, you know, decade or so should be a wake up call for everybody. That we've got to make some hard choices. We really shouldn't cut down another tree. First of all, too many of them are burning. You've got Europe on fire, which let me just explain something to you. Rich people love to go to Europe for the summer because they don't get, you know, over 90 degrees normally. They're having 100 and some odd degree plus temperatures, and they are closer to the North Pole than Chicago. Okay, so that's a serious issue that it's so hot in Europe that those people are dying in droves because they don't even have air conditioning. They never needed it before. They have such mild summers. It wasn't a problem for them to not have air conditioning units. But now that they switch over to that, guess what? You will be polluting the atmosphere even more. And this isn't new. We've been knowing about the effects of pollution since the Industrial Revolution. People started getting sick when the Industrial Revolution began. Water was being polluted. The air was being polluted. And it's been a continuing problem every year since we started it in the 1800s. And for whatever reason, people just continued the same, let's say, steps toward what they call progress. I think Reverend Demery said one time when he was a kid, they used to have days when you couldn't go outside because the smog was too dangerous to breathe in. I mean, think about that. That was what, I don't want to say how old Reverend Demery is because I don't know, but think about how many decades ago that was, and we still haven't made any progress, not in my opinion, not any real significant progress towards fixing the problem. We've got some good ideas. We're starting to put some things in place. I just hope it's not too little too late, because it would be really hard to implement all the changes all at once. There are some things we're doing that are good. I will say something positive. Like, I know a lot of Black people especially hate gentrification. Me personally, I don't, because I think we need to recycle the land that's already developed and not tear down more trees to, you know, build houses and apartments and businesses. We've done too much of that and caused too much of a problem as it is. And so how do we make houses and stuff when we've already, without cutting down trees? Well, there's this thing called reclaimed wood. I don't know if any of you've ever heard of it out there in Radio Land, but basically it's when we recycle wood that's been used. Say for instance, you had a bed and the bed broke down, so you throw the bed away. Well, instead of just, you know, throwing it away, you take the wood that you used to make that bed and you use it to make something else. But we're still cutting down trees. The earth is still burning. You remember the wildfires in Australia? And I know you guys in California know what it's like. Mm. Now we've got Canada fire so bad that we even had smoke now here in Arkansas.
That's amazing.
And then Europe has been burning too. So we've got some serious problems, and it's time for us to suck it up, and make some really hard decisions on how we're going to change and fix it.
Absolutely. Hey, Dr. Demery, I sent you a text message with the conference number, so you can leave your screen up. Okay. And dial into the conference number. I'm going to try to connect, Demery, y'all. Okay. So anyway, you're exactly right. Okay, I was looking at some things earlier. And let's see, where is it right here? Okay, let's go to it. And it is some ways to stop global warming. Okay, I don't know. I'm just reading from an article right here. And like I said, folks, and to our listening audience, we're not coming at this subject or trying to address this topic because we are experts. We want to make that disclaimer. We certainly aren't. And perhaps some of you that are listening right now who know more than we do about this, maybe this is your field. We would love to hear your input. And if you're on Facebook, you're on LinkedIn, or or Twitter, please, in the comment section, tell us, you know, maybe some ideas or some information that you have. This says, number one, change a light, replacing a regular light bulb with a compact fluorescent light bulb will save 150 pounds of carbon dioxide a year. Okay. All right. I don't know how much that would do. Drive less. That's difficult. If your job is driving, it's going to be difficult for you to drive less. I mean, if that's what you have to do for a living, right? But let's say, I don't know. Just think about that and perhaps that will work some. Recycle more. Check your tires. That's interesting. Use less hot water. Okay. Avoid products with a lot of packaging. Adjust your thermostat. Plant a tree. Okay. All right. I think that might help. Okay.
What? Plant a tree.
Plant a tree.
Then you need to stop cutting down the trees. That's what I'm trying to say because.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. We do need trees.
Because the trees clean up the air. They'll tell you, get plants and put them in your house because it clean, makes good oxygen. It cleans the air.
That's
and,
right.
And said it best. And everybody's saying the same thing is that they are cutting away the natural resources that God has provided for us, period, out of greed or necessity. Uh-huh. They don't do. And I'm thinking about, well, you said something about housing, William. There's a whole lot of houses that they can just fix up and let people occupy. Mm-hmm. But they rather build new ones. Come on. And then, too, there you said a housing development. Most of them folks can't even afford those houses. Come on.
That's right. Well, you know, I think all of us, while we were in school, we did learn something in school, and that is how we breathe oxygen, but plants breathe, what, carbon dioxide?
Yes, it cleans the air.
It does clean the air. So that is a valuable thing that we talk about there. And you don't have to be a scientist to realize that. I think I learned that in something like the second or third grade.
I learned that in school, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. So there is some. So I'm going to try to connect Dr. Demery to the phone. Dr. Demery, wave your hand if you are connected on the phone line. Okay, hold on. I'll be right back, folks. And continue the conversation, please. Let's go to Danny Tisdale. Brother Tisdale.
Yes, I'm glad this the name of the show is the Boomerang, because you throw stuff out there and it come right back to you. So I want to be careful what I throw out there when it comes to talking about global warming. But I know I can feel it. I can definitely feel the change.
Right.
You know, most of my life I've had a job that required that I work out in the elements, you know, and that's from extreme heat to extreme cold. And in inclement weather. And I've done that for the majority of my life, but it was just a way of life. But things are so extreme nowadays, you would have to believe that there's some truth in what the scientists are saying. And then to those that want to throw up smoke screens, we got so many people throwing up smoke screens about so many things for undetermined reasons by me. You know, for why they choose to do that.
Mm-hmm.
We all have to come together, be it Japan, China, Russia, mm-hmm. Korea, mm-hmm. or whatever. We have to come to a conclusion that together we can make this
right.
a difference, you know,
right.
and through total education and the electric cars and different things. Every time we do come up with a solution, or a remedy to what's needed, they price it so far out the market, no one can afford to do it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make sense. Even the solar panels, you know, being people of age can't see the value of paying for taking the next 25 years to pay off solar panels, you know what I mean? That possibly gonna need to be replaced and 7 to 10 years, you know, and none of this stuff has really been, it's all new to us, but
mm-hmm.
everybody puts a price on it, you know what I mean? The price is the, even like Wooten says, she's for gentrification. My thing is, okay, once they do upgrade an area, the people in the areas for which they're doing it can't even afford to live in the area. Where do they go? You know, it's so many problems.
There are lots to overcome. Lots to overcome.
Yeah, we're having trouble connecting Dr. Demery, so he won't be with us this week, so unfortunately, and I love hearing what Dr. Demery has to say, but this is becoming inaudible, so we're not going to do that. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, yeah, a couple of things, like I said, things that we can do to change, and like Mike, you were saying earlier, we can't cut out everything because it's really not feasible, and, you know, not everything, however, we could plant more trees, and then think about this as well with all of these fires, and think how many acres and acres and acres of forestry that burns in California every year. And now we got that in Canada. You got fires all over the place. Well, guess what? They're burning down, not intentionally, but a lot of trees are going down, are being destroyed due to. And it's Mother Nature in a lot of cases, okay? It could be an electrical storm. Anything could spark a tree. I know in California we had a couple of instances where, you know, homeless people were out in the camping, you know, and accidentally set the forest on fire. So, I mean, you think about how many acres of vegetation burn each and every year in California, Mike. I mean, it is absolutely incredible. I don't know. What can you do about that? And in many cases, nothing we can do about that. But the thing
that
that's
kind of the issue. It's one thing for the natural cycle, the natural occurrence of things happens. You are going to have periods of drought. That's a natural cycle. You're going to have volcanic eruptions. You're going to have periods where the earth is just warmer or colder. The problem is, human beings have inserted themselves into the equation, and we are drastically making things hotter artificially. So, so the planet doesn't have a chance to heal itself because of what we are doing constantly, doing over and over and over again. We took a short pause, very short pause from polluting our earth when things shut down. And it was amazing the difference in just that short period of time. People in India could finally see Mount Everest again. Can you imagine not being able to see that thing? It's a lot of the waters got clearer just because there was no us out there. Beaches looked better. The waters around the beaches were crystal clear. I think it was Britain, in the United Kingdom, the doggone animals came down off the mountain and into the city looking around like, where are all the people? Because it was so quiet. The animals were like, this is unreal. And then we more than made up for it by ramping things up, trying to catch up our economies, and made it even worse than it was before that. So what I'm saying is, we don't know how to take care of ourselves. It's true. If we cut everything out today, it would be a problem. But us making some serious drastic changes in just a very short period of time that we did, it was proof positive that the earth can get some positive benefits from it.
Absolutely.
So we got to figure out how to take care of ourselves again. So people don't know how to grow food. What would you do if you couldn't go to a toilet? Folks don't know what to do if their toilets don't work. I mean, it would be a serious problem if we tried to stop everything. Agreed. But we're going to have to do something if we want ourselves and the rest of the species on the planet to live, because we're killing the fish. We're killing the birds. I mean, we're killing a lot of different animal species. Polar bears are dying because they don't have ice anymore. It's sad, but it's just the truth.
And you're right. There are some things we can do. And Danny and Mike can attest to this because, Danny, you spent a period of time in Southern California. And, Mike, you're still there. And Dr. Sims is still there. I remember flying. I remember taking a trip back here where I am right now to Richmond. And then I remember flying back to California and during the daytime, and it had this ugly, thick orange fog. I mean, it was just ugly. And we're going back a few decades ago. And then California did do something smart. They did something as far as the emission from the cars and cleaned up the air quite a bit. And you don't see that yellow, I mean, thick orange haze like we used to see out there, Mike. And I noticed it. I noticed that. So there are some things that we could do. I think they put they had greater restriction on emissions coming from cars. And the sky did get cleaner. You want to address that, Mike?
Oh, I agree with you 100%. I can remember when you had this, the sun was going down and you saw this orange haze or the brown haze and, mm-hmm. Even if you looked at aerial photographs, you could see that muck that existed in the air. And I think a lot of the pollution's been addressed, at least here in the U.S., where automobiles are far more cleaner now. The factories are far more clean. They have scrubbers on all their stacks. Mm-hmm. Even the diesel trucks that make our lives easier by bringing us products, the diesel trucks are far cleaner now. So, I mean, we've made a dent in it. But we've also increased the number of people on Earth
mm-hmm.
or in the United States. So we have more people now, and more people, whether you like it or not, equates to more pollution.
Mm-hmm. And you were talking, Danny, I'm sure you remember that too. Man, talking, it was just ugly, man. Danny?
Yeah, I can remember seeing that haze, you know, even on flights, and sometimes you could actually get up on one of the higher elevations and you look down over the city and you could just see this thing, you know. And I think a lot of the emission control that they've done with diesels and the DEEC and the solutions that they're putting in the diesel engines now has helped a great deal. But like Mike says, there's still a lot more work to be done, such as Ms. Wooten is saying too. There's still a lot more that needs to be done.
Right.
That's for sure.
Call me Ann.
Wooten, I see.
Yeah, and you're right. There's a lot more we can do. And the things that we can do, we certainly should do it instead of throwing up our hands and saying, oh, nope, that's the way it is. And so many of our politicians are saying, well, there's nothing can be done about it or this or that or the other. And those are the ones that really aren't bringing anything to the table anyway. So we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But the number one cause, according to this article, the number one cause of global warming is burning fossil fuels changes the climate more than any other human activity. Carbon dioxide, human activities currently release over 30 billion. That's with a B, folks, tons of carbon dioxide in a year. And hopefully, let's see, Dr. Demery is on another computer, so hopefully that'll work a lot better for him. Dr. Demery.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, yes.
Great. Awesome.
Oh, yeah. Blessings from the sky. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hey, Dr. Demery, I think I know you have an idea of what we're talking about, and we really want your take. Before you logged off and came back in, we were talking about how California really cleaned up the air quite a bit going back a few decades now. You remember that ugly brown, oranges, haze that used to be up in the sky, and you could just see it. You could stand on the ground and see it, and it was particularly ugly. I remember, like I was saying before, I was on a flight coming back from Virginia, and it was during the daytime, and I'm saying, wow, are we breathing this stuff? Yes, we are. Yes, we are. Dr. Demery, your take on it. And we're talking about some things that can be done to improve. And the article that I read before you log back on that fossil fuels emit 30 billion tons of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere every year. Folks, anything with a billion, okay, that's a lot. 30 billion? And you think about the major polluters in the world. And I'm not sure that we are the major polluters. I'm not saying that the United States is all bad.
One of them.
But you could take any major industrial country. They're doing the same thing. And it need, yeah, oh, shucks, I'm telling you. So it need to be some consensus, some coming together, and it's going to take well-minded leaders around the world to come together to do something about this. But we can do all we can over here and help out some. But can you imagine, but if we came together with all major countries and tried to address this issue, possibly we can have some solutions. So, Dr. Demery, your take.
Well, you know, I'm not as old as some of the people on the panel. I remember during, you know, the time when I was in high school and obviously junior high, we would have smog alerts.
Yes.
I don't know if anybody actually remembers that. But during the smog alerts, it was so bad that they canceled sports and they canceled everything. And this was what, you know, went on in the Inland Empire. And at the time, when I was at UCR, University of California, Riverside, they said that we had some of the worst smog in all of the United States because of what's called photochemical smog.
Wow. Because
the pollutants would go out into the air, then it would react with the sun, and it was called photochemical smog.
Yes.
And that made it exacerbated. It made it 10 times worse than it already was.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one issue. I remember when I was fortunate enough to go to the Arctic. When I was there and when I looked at pictures from when I was there, half the thing is almost gone. Half the Arctic is almost gone.
That's amazing.
Because of global warming, you know? Mm-hmm. And it is, I think, significant to consider, like I was trying to say before when I was having all the problems, is that I believe in science. Not that science has all the answers and has the last answer, but you remember that Paul sent for a young physician named Luke in the Anatolian Highlands. So even Paul considered science useful, and it was something that God gave us. So I think we need to include science in our discussion, but it doesn't have all the answers or the last answer. But, you know, the science has pretty much proven the proof is in the pudding, you know. And they're trying to say some of the Christian nationalists, you know, whom I really despise, there's no such thing as global warming, and there's no such things as, you know, El Nino or El Nina, which we get on the West Coast out here, which is the warming trend where the waters are warmed up too far and they come up, you know, from the Gulf Coast, and it causes all kinds of rains and this and that and the other. So I think, you know, we have to really consider the scientific issues that are put before us.
Right.
You know, they used to didn't think that smoking was bad for you. Well, we know now that smoking causes lung cancer.
Exactly.
And everything else. But for a long time, people thought that smoking was good for you.
Mm-hmm.
They even thought at a time not too long ago that they thought cocaine was good for you.
Yep.
You know, they used to put it in Coca-Cola. It
sure did.
Coca-Cola, yeah.
So, you know, we have to rely, I think, to a significant extent upon what science is saying. You know, there's things that my wife tells me about me. She's a therapist that science has proven, you know, that I had never considered before. And I have to stop, sit back and look at myself. I said, well, you know, she's right about this issue. And this issue is right concerning my personal life. So I guess what I'm saying is I think we have to balance things out and consider what science is saying and consider what, you know, the reality of the thing is. Science is telling us one thing, and we go out and look and say, wow, you know, half the Arctic is melted down because of global warming. Mm-hmm. Something's causing it, the warming of the oceans. So, you know, it's kind of like Danny. You know, Danny was in his field of work where he was into weighing things and making sure you had the right weights when you're putting something down and that and the other. That's science. You know, if he didn't have the right calculations and the right equations and whatnot when he was setting something up, it would collapse and fall apart.
Yeah,
right.
So it wouldn't work. So I think, you know, we have to balance science with human reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes people either too far to the left or too far to the right, And I think you have to have a balance, you know, where there's homeostasis somewhere along the middle to find, you know, a common ground.
I'm so glad you came back, because that was well said. Thank you so much for that. Thank you. Yes. Really appreciate that. Now, I looked this thing up, and it says the number one, the largest emitter of carbon dioxide gas in the world, okay, is China. Okay?
Yep.
It's China.
I believe
it. Number two is the U.S.
Yep.
Number three is India. Number four is Russia, and number five is Japan. Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, according to that, you guys can fact check me if you want, but this is what I have. And that's the five countries that produce the most carbon dioxide. All right. Mm-hmm. So you're exactly right. So the thing about it, folks, we really need to address those issues that we can. And, you know, and like I said, some things aren't feasible right now, but I think with technology and things of that nature, it can get better. And I'm also looking at what Mike said earlier, too, about electric cars. Well, what does it do? What does it take to produce electric cars? It's supposed to be reducing the emissions. And so are we producing more emissions by trying to develop products that would give us less emissions?
But, you know, Ann said something too, William, about if we're having a problem with electricity right now, especially in the hottest days of the summer, how are you, because, and here's a going thing now, they want to make all gas stoves electric stoves, okay? Mm-hmm. And they want to replace them in apartments, whatever. They want to make that a requirement. But if you're going to do everything with electric and during the hot months, you use so much electricity, right? Mm-hmm. You go against the grid and then they cut it off. You have blackouts and things like that because they've been giving us alerts around where we live. Talk about the heat, number one, and then talk about the electricity because people have to stay cool. I got one a couple of days ago. The government sent it out, okay, and said that they're giving us spots, cool spots, for folks to come out of their places and go to these cool spots to a certain time at night. And there were several of them. They gave us a email and where to find these spots. And I'm understanding that. However, if they want to make everything to make common sense. They want to make everything electrical. What is that going to cause? Here's my theory. Now, I could be all crazy. Y'all help a girl, okay, because I tend to go out, way out. There's so many wanting to control us, because if everything is electric, who's going to have control of the button? Okay, I'm just saying. This is how I think, because now control everything. Just think logically. Who's going to have control of the button to cut the electric off? Because we know where it's headed. It's in Revelation, and I know Dr. Demery can compare with this. It's all about control, folks, okay? So right now, they can control the gas, of course. However, they want to make everything electric. If you remember how they called the cars who didn't have the computer disk in them, trade in. Remember that? The chip. So guess what? These satellites, baby, they're covering everything, okay? Mm-hmm. So now we're going to this with the global warming. I remember you said it, William. I was back in that age too, Dr. Demery. You not too much, you know, I'm just saying. And William is older than me, so now.
You don't know my age.
I do know your
you
age.
Don't.
I
you
know
think you know?
Born,
it said, "Women, hold it." So what, this discussion was between you and Dr. Demery. So how did I get in the conversation?
Because y'all always laughing when he bring this up.
Well, it's funny.
To laugh.
William, you always see your way in it instead of out of it. So what's the problem?
Wait a minute. Okay.
My sister. Thank you.
But yeah, anyway, you and your sister.
What I was trying to say is that they are, because look at the land. Who's buying, what is Brother Bill Gates going to do? Okay, I wish he would come on here and tell us all the land he's hogging up, okay? Now, you see the handwriting on the wall. What is going on here? People want to be in control. You're going to make all things electric. You're making the cars have the chip in. okay? You're going to be able to cut people down, okay, when you want to. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So now